Welcome, everyone, to the MMQB Gambling Podcast, Week 12 in the NFL Thanksgiving week. Unfortunately, one of the games bumped. Steelers-Ravens will not be played Thursday night. That gets moved to Sunday. We won't be breaking down that game for you because there's no line. It's off the board because the Ravens are ravaged right now with positive COVID cases. So we're going to skip that. We'll give you the Sunday board and Monday night, obviously, and get you covered for Week 12. As always, joined by my co-host, Gary Grambling, Mitch Goldich, back after a week off. I was 2-2 in my best bets. It was a painful week, I think, for Gary. What was the record again, Gary?
It was not good, Jimmy. It was a painful week because Mitch wasn't here last week, so I was already bummed out. And I went 1-5. That is obviously unforgivably bad. And it was a case of when it rains, it pours. I had the Lions -1.5 at Carolina, and when Teddy Bridgewater was declared out, it was kind of like, all right, you know, line moved to 3. It was like, okay, Lions are going to cover this one. They're in the playoff hunt. Carolina's been struggling, and obviously that didn't work out. The one that was devastating was I had the under in Titans-Ravens, and that was a real weird combination of things. You know, it was a 5-point game. They were way under the total at that point. It had to go to overtime to go over, and the Titans get the touchdown and the 2-pointer to push it to 3. The Ravens kick the field goal and it goes over. I guess my point is I was so close to 6-0, but instead it's 1-5.
To quote one of the great philosophers of our time, Justin Timberlake, Cry Me a River. I had the Bengals as the best bet, and Joe Burrow blew out his knee while the Bengals were leading, and then they could not basically gain a yard the rest of the game after he left. So
that could have gone in so many different directions. I was wondering how many philosophers you know, Jimmy. I was going to say, I had a perfect week. I got every single game right, straight up and against the spread. Very sorry that I couldn't come on the podcast and share the knowledge and help Gary out. Just take my word for it. I had every game. But I do want to say, because I was not on last week, I don't know if you talked about it. I didn't listen to last week's show. I was moving. People might not know that anyway. I have moved now. 2 weeks ago, Nick Chubb, thank you very much for saving me. I just wanted to come back on and make sure I bragged about my win 2 weeks ago that was totally deserved. Nick Chubb, what a great play going out of bounds to the 1 yard line. Preserve, and people had it at 3 and it was a push. On this podcast, the line was still 3.5 earlier in the week. That goes down as a win for me in our Google Doc. Thank you, Nick Chubb.
Might be the top gambling play of the entire 2020 season right there by Nick Chubb. All right, let's get into week 12 again. We're giving you the Sunday slate and Monday night. We're going to skip Ravens Steelers because that game is off the board while we tape. Don't know what's going on there with the
off
Ravens
the board,
running backs.
A plug for Jimmy's old podcast.
Yeah, the old one. All right, let's start it off with
good theme music. I liked the off the board.
It
the
did.
Off the board theme music.
Someone stole
good.
It. I forgot who. Yeah. Let's start it off. The Dolphins visit the Jets after the Tua benching, but he's back starting this week. Dolphins 7-point road favorites in New York. Total 44.5. Gary.
I know, Jimmy, we were both on the Broncos last week, and I was too much of a coward to best bet it, and you kind of saw how that played out, where I think the Broncos were just an especially bad matchup for Miami. It's always going to be tough for a young quarterback to play that Vic Fangio defense. They have a good pass rush. They really give you blurry, difficult-to-decipher coverage looks. I think that's a really tough one for a rookie, but more than that, I mean, the Broncos were not going to put the ball in Drew Lock's hands. That's how the Dolphins are going to beat people, when they go out there and they can show those zero blitz looks that are, they do all sorts of stuff that just wreak havoc with the passing game, and the Broncos just want to run the thing. Vic Fangio would run it 60 times a game if he could. So I am not off the Dolphins. I think this is the kind of game where it's going to be very easy for them to bounce back and just roll a big number here. They shut out the Jets earlier this year. I just don't really see a scenario here where the Jets put up more than like 14 points or so. And I think Miami's fine offensively. I don't think they're a good offensive team, but I think they're fine, especially in the game where they're probably going to have a lot of good field position anyway. So they'll get their points. I think this is a double-digit win for the Dolphins. So I like the Dolphins a lot here.
I'm with you on so much of what you said, because I did best bet the Broncos last week. Mm-hmm. And we both said it. If there's one place in the NFL that's still gives you a little home field advantage where there's no fans, it's Denver. Mm-hmm. And I think we saw that. The Dolphins all season have been so well coached, not a ton of turnovers, not a ton of penalties, and then it all came unraveling in that game. It just felt like one of those games where they would do. I'm with you. I love the Dolphins here against the Jets. Don't get scared off because the Jets put up a few points last week against the Chargers. The Chargers are the weirdest team in the NFL. I agree with you. I think this is a double-digit win for the Dolphins. I think they bounce back. This is a perfect there's nothing you can have better in the NFL after a loss than playing the Jets. I think this is a great, great matchup here for Miami. And I'm with you there. I like the Dolphins a lot. Mitch, what do you got on this one?
I just want to say a little bit of a pet peeve alert. Everyone's saying Tua got benched. And I get it. In my mind, when someone gets benched, and I know he literally was sent to the bench, but in my mind, when someone gets benched, it's like they lost the job. He got pulled. I like to say that he got pulled. It reminds me a little of the game earlier this year when Jimmy G was pulled at halftime, and part of it was injury, and part of it was ineffective. I don't know if that was a benching. I'm not quite there. I'm now collecting two. You always need three examples before you can write a story about it. So like, this is definitely on my radar. I'm waiting for my third one, and I'm gonna write. I don't know. We got to talk about this terminology. Anyway, think very differently about this game than we did a week ago. And you know, you guys talked about it. To me, this is a classic stay away. I like the Dolphins to win. It just feels like a lot to ask them to expect them to win by double digits, like Gary said. But then again, I mean, you can't pick the Jets. Like, that's just, you know, why would anyone do that at this point? So I'm saying, anyway, the line scares me off a little bit. Wouldn't surprise me at all if they do win the game by 10 or 13 points, but I'm not going to take it. I'm going to stay away.
Next game, the Browns getting a lot of love now because of their record. Given 6.5 in Jacksonville, Mike Glennon now in at quarterback for the Jaguars. Total here is 49, Mitch.
Yeah, I think they have to be better off with Glennon. I mean, he at least has some experience. Yeah, the Jake Luton magic lasted, I think, one play. His first game, he had that bomb to DJ Chark and then didn't really do anything after that. I don't know. You know, I'm really eager to just bury the Jaguars. But then you look at them, obviously they were not good against the Steelers and they were never in that game. Trying the onside kick early, which I did like. But, you know, go back a few weeks, they did. They hung with the Packers and the Texans, which is a little confounding just like looking at some of those teams. But the Browns, they're going to be without Myles Garrett again. So that obviously hurts them a ton on defense, but I think they're so much better on offense with Nick Chubb back. And I thought that was really encouraging to see him and Chubb and Hunt together are just a really special backfield. And it just helps the whole offense. You know, you don't need Baker Mayfield to carry the team as much with that combo. So, you know, I definitely lean Browns here. This is another one, two games in a row where I feel like the line just scares me just a little bit. I was close. I could have talked myself into best betting the Browns, but I think I'm going to pull back. If you make me pick a side, I'll pick them, but not quite a best bet.
Gary?
So I've sort of been exposed as a Baker Mayfield hater at this point, and I've got a lot of Browns fans showing up my mentions, and they're very upset about what I've written about the Browns, and specifically about Mayfield. But it's funny, I've been rethinking Mayfield and making sure that I'm not just being one of these turds who sort of like latches on to a take and then won't shake loose of it. Mayfield has basically played two good games this year, and you know, whatever, he was okay in like blowout wins over like Washington or when they got that big lead in Dallas. He was sort of a no harm done type of guy, but he played really well in the two Bengals games. Other than that, he's either been just kind of a game manager or he's been bad, and he was bad in November, but those weather games were absurd. They were all home. They were all terrible wind, rain, sleet type games. He's looked bad against the Steelers. He's looked bad against the Ravens, against the Colts. I'm ready to sort of open my mind to Baker Mayfield getting to play in a nice weather game against a bad defense. Does he go out there and play well? He's not going to go out. I mean, they're not built to just go out there and, like, you know, throw for 400 yards and put up 50 points. But if he plays well and plays efficiently, I mean, they're going to roll up 30, 35 points on the Jaguars. And Mike Glennon, even without Myles Garrett in the lineup, the Browns don't really have to force turnovers or anything. They're just, you know, Mike Glennon is just not going to put up points. So I saw this line at less than a touchdown. This is more... I'm probably going to end up best betting the Browns, and it's kind of an olive branch to Baker Mayfield and his believers to say that I am open to believing if this goes this way this week, and if it doesn't, then I will just hate Baker Mayfield forever.
Mitch,
I started. I went, Jimmy.
My bad. Because I have nothing to say about this game. It's just I think. I don't believe in the Browns yet to give 6.5 on the road, and I think the quarterback change throws this a little bit in flux here for me, so it's a stay-away game for me. Next game, Giants. Talk about teams laying points on the road here. The Giants, -6 in Cincinnati, as I mentioned before, Burrow out. So obviously that just throws everything out of whack here. The total is 43, Gary.
Yeah, this one's on the cusp for me as far as best bets go. Obviously, six is a big number for the Giants. I'll cite the Giants' road numbers, which, I mean, we've talked about it all year. They're great on the road over the last, this is going back to 2018. They are 17-4 against the spread. They are 10-0 against the spread when they face defenses that are allowing six or more yards per play. That said, I mean, obviously, they haven't been favorites on the road very often, and this is by far the biggest spread. I think it's the biggest or the first time that they're favored by more than a field goal on the road. But I could see, I mean, we saw Brandon Allen with the Broncos last year go to Minnesota, and that was that game where the Broncos, they were huge underdogs. They ended up taking like a 3-touchdown lead at halftime, then they sort of squandered it, and the Vikings won on the last possession. So Brandon Allen is potentially competent. I don't know if I really see that working out, and I do think that, look, the Giants have gone back-to-back weeks without turning the ball over. Daniel Jones is playing a little bit more conservatively, but I think that's the trade-off they're taking at this point. And the defense is good. The defense has been really good the last couple of weeks. So I think they go there and win this pretty handily. I think I'm with you guys, and just seeing that number next to the Giants on the road, and just it's tough to stomach.
Mitch?
Yeah, it is confusing. I saw it yesterday at 5.5, and I was thinking about it, and then you wake up this morning, and it's now 6, and it's like, I don't know, is this going to creep up to 7 by kickoff? At a certain point, it's really too high. But, I mean, the Bengals are cooked, right? Like, I thought it was going to be Ryan Finley time, and then, yeah, we saw it was Brandon Allen. We don't have Kyle Allen, unfortunately. We all remember the week last year when there were three different Allens who started at quarterback. Got to get Kyle back in there, or he's injured, right? That's why they turned to Alex Smith. Yeah, the Giants, they've been competitive. I remember saying this earlier in the season. At this point, I think maybe the Giants are going to win the NFC East, and that might not even be a controversial take at this point. But I told you guys this a few times on the podcast earlier. They were competitive, and some of their losses against decent teams were close games. Now they are coming off two straight wins and the bye week. The wins are against crappy NFC East teams, so you wonder how much stock to put in those. But, you know, the Bengals, they're a crappy team too. They'd fit in the NFC East. They tied the Eagles, so they're like right around that level. But I don't know. Gary, you said everything. It's just, how do you bet any NFC East team as a 6-point favorite on the road? I like them. Again, this is another game in that same exact range where if you ask me to pick one, I'm picking the Giants to cover, but not quite there for a best bet.
Yeah, I mean, Mitch pointed out the Giants playing well. They're also great against the spread. I believe they're 7-3 against the spread, or 6-3 against the spread this year. But, oh God, I want to do it so badly, but 6 on the road, you know. Again, the Bengals, you don't see how they can really put up more than, I don't know, 10 or 13 points here, but this should be a blowout. I don't have the guts. I wish I did to pick the Giants. Next game, we got another. This can't be right. I had to write this down wrong. There's no way the Raiders are -3 in Atlanta, total 55.5. Wow. Mitch.
What did you think it was going to be?
I didn't think the Raiders would be favored, but.
Really? Yeah, okay. Are. I'm not surprised by that at all. It's a body clock game, a Gary Grambling special. They are flying from Vegas, but I'm ready to believe in the Raiders. I think I was late to the party on them and got burned by them a few times, but I think especially their ability to beat bad teams. I mean, we saw them beat the Chiefs, and then the game that's fresh in everyone's mind was the this Sunday night game when they lost, but they gave the Chiefs a real game. That was competitive. I think if the line here was like 4 or 4.5, it would give me some pause. But you look at these two teams and it's a 3-point spread. I think the Raiders are a better team. And, you know, sometimes that's a simplistic way to look at things, but I often do that when the spread is a field goal or under. I like them to win. I mean, the Falcons, they were definitely playing better, whether that was related to the coaching change or not, it did kind of happen around the same time. They won 3 out of 4. And then last week they got kind of undressed by Taysom Hill's Saints. But, you know, they're not a playoff contender, and I think the Raiders really are and could easily end up in that AFC playoff picture. So, you know, I look at this and I see two teams. I think one's better. I expect them to take care of business. The spread's only a field goal. I know they're traveling. You guys know I'm never afraid to pick road teams. So, I feel pretty good about taking the Raiders here.
Yeah, I just, like, you know, the Falcons have been playing much better with Raheem Morris. And, you know, I think to just ignore that because they lost to the Saints and Taysom Hill last week is not – prudent. So that's why I'm getting three at home there. I kind of like the Falcons. Gary, what do you got?
Yeah, I'd probably lean Falcons ever since. I do like the Raiders. I think the Raiders are a team a lot of people look at and say, like, oh, they're not as good as their record. I think they have been as good as their record. I think they've, if anything, been slightly better than their record at this point. That said, I don't know about this matchup. The Falcons lost last week because they couldn't protect Matt Ryan. The Raiders, I mean, the one thing the Raiders don't have is a pass rush. They have zero pass rush. I don't think the Falcons offensively are going to have issues. I wanted to like the total on this one. I wanted to go over. 55.5 was too much. I'd probably back off for all purposes here, but I guess I'll go against Mitch and give a slight lean to the Falcons.
Next game, we got the Arizona Cardinals going into New England. Cardinals 2.5-point favorites against the Patriots. The total is 49.5. Gary.
Yeah, we'll see what the status of Kyler's shoulder is. I am assuming at the time of our taping, and you guys can disagree, but I assume he will play in this one. Look, this feels like the kind of game, Belichick going against a guy who was maybe not necessarily a Belichick disciple, but Cliff Kingsbury obviously played in that system, and I think there's some familiarity there. I think it's a chance for the Patriots defense to sort of have another step-up game after a disappointment last week against the Texans. So we'll see how it goes. Both teams are kind of erratic, but the Patriots are too erratic to really get a great read on any of their games at this point. I would probably lean New England in this one, though.
Mitch.
So, yeah, you mentioned, obviously, Kyler Murray is the X factor. We don't know. I assume he's going to play, but you don't know if he's going to be limited. I will say they did have a little bit of extra rest because they played last Thursday. So hopefully that, one, helps him heal. Two, you've got to think that they can maybe cook up a game plan and maybe design some stuff in the offense to run the ball more and, not rely on the shoulder necessarily, or at least just spend a little extra time thinking about how they can compensate for the injury and kind of plan around it. But beyond the X factor of his injury, this is a game I'm like copy and paste some of the same things I said about the previous game we just talked about. You've got a better team from the West Coast traveling east and playing. I think this is in the 1 o'clock window. But again, it's simplistic. I just think the Cardinals are the better team. I know the Patriots just burned me 2 weeks ago in that game when I best bet the Ravens, favored by a touchdown, and then the Patriots won the game outright. But I think looking at the trajectory of their season, I think that is the game that's the outlier for New England. I just think the Cardinals are a much better team. If all things equal, healthy quarterback, you look at these teams and you say Arizona's going to win this game, spreads under a field goal, I'm happy to take it. I want to hear more about Kyler's practicing throughout the week. It's, pulling back the curtain, we are taping a day early this week because of Thanksgiving. So typically we're dealing with a little more information here than we might have at the point that we're taping this podcast. An extra day of practice, possibly 2 days of injury reports. But I feel really confident taking the Cardinals here. I really do.
I love Arizona. I don't buy into the home road stuff as much, especially this year. Laying less than a field goal with a Cardinals team that is so much better than the Patriots. I don't see how New England can keep up with Arizona here. They're not built with on the offense. They could play keep away and do their little Rex Burkhardt and dink and dunk to James White and keep the ball away from Kyler. But
Burkhead's out, actually.
That's right. He got hurt last week. Correct. That's right. Thank you. Yes, that's right. He got hurt. Yes, that was a bad injury last week, too. So, I don't see how Arizona gets stopped here offensively. I think this is an easy win for the Cardinals. Next game, the Colts giving 3.5 at home to the Titans. Good matchup here. Total 51.5. Mitch.
Yeah, stupid Colts. I am wrong about them every single week. Them and the Broncos. They're the two teams that I just have apparently no feel for this year. But I'll say I like the Titans here. Under a field goal, I don't know about that. But at 3.5, getting the hook there, I'm happy to take it. This is a great game. When we talk about like what games we're excited to watch, I'm pumped for this one on Sunday. Two teams that both had really kind of dramatic wins last week, setting up this AFC South showdown. I'm excited to see it. It's also a rematch game because they just played, I think, just 2 weeks ago. We saw the Colts beat them. It was 34-17. That was the Thursday night game. Titans led 17-13 at the half, and then the Colts dominated the second half 21-0. But I throw that one out a little bit. Like Thursday night games, sometimes weird things just kind of happen. And, you know, division teams that know each other, and then they're playing again so soon. I'm willing to throw that out a little bit. So, you know, I lean Titans. I'm wary of taking the Colts lightly because I think I have done that a couple times. I think the issue, honestly, was just that early in the season, everyone was raving like, oh, this is a top three defense. And then Darius Leonard was out for a few games and they weren't as good. And I think it's just that simple. He's that good. You plug him back in and they're immediately a top three defense again. And I just need to calibrate that again for myself and remember, no, he's out on the field. They are a better team with him. So, you know, not a best bet for me, but I think getting that, the 3.5 more than a field goal, I lean the Titans.
Mitch? I mean, I'm sorry, Gary.
You got it. That is me. Yeah, I'm staying away from this one. I would lean Colts. I'm staying away. These teams just play weird games. Again, that Thursday night game, the Colts outplayed them, but it was such a wide margin because they had a blocked punt touchdown and stuff like that. When these teams played in Indianapolis last year, that was Jacoby Brissett was the Colts quarterback. They were out of receivers. T.Y. Hilton's out for that game. They were running a bunch of like XFL type dudes out there. No offense to P.J. Walker, but the Colts were in control of that game. Outgained by 100 yards. It looked like they were lining up for a go-ahead field goal 5 minutes ago. That gets blocked, and the Titans run it back for a touchdown, and that's sort of how that game ended up turning. So just weird stuff tends to happen here. I would lean Colts. I think they're the better team. They're in their own building. They are built to deal with the Titans' physicality. But that's one other thing to consider. The Titans' second half of the season, when it's Derrick Henry, when it's A.J. Brown, we saw what A.J. Brown did late in that Ravens game where they just couldn't tackle him. I think that stuff does add up, and the Titans are a better late season team than they are an early season team.
I love the over 51.5 in this game. I heard, I saw a stat. I think last six Titans games have gone over, and 5 of 6 Colts games have gone over the total. The Colts have all of a sudden become like an offensive juggernaut. The reason why I called Mitch Gary or Gary Mitch a moment ago is I was trying to get the Colts scores the last few games. They scored 34 last week, 34 2 weeks ago, 41 3 weeks ago, threw in a clunker with a 10-point game, and then had another 31-point game. So the Colt offense has come alive. And I think you know, the Titans can score points here, so I like the over 51.5 in that game a lot. Next game is the best game of the week, the Chiefs, -3.5 in Tampa Bay. Total 56, biggest total of the week. On the board, Gary.
Yeah, I'm not even down that on the Bucs at this point, but the Chiefs are just, to me, the Chiefs are just head and shoulders above the rest of the league at this point, and that includes Pittsburgh as well. I know everyone's all fired up about that. But the Tom Brady downfield passing stuff, I think, is being overplayed to an extent. He's never been a great downfield thrower. He's missed in chunks the last couple of games, and obviously he had two ugly interceptions in that Monday night loss. And really, I mean, look, it's tough to quantify this, but when these teams play in primetime and you have sort of ugly plays like that, it just sort of gets blown out of proportion. I mean, we saw with Daniel Jones in that Bucs game. Daniel Jones has been playing somewhere between pretty good and great all season on a bad team, and he has a Monday night game where he throws two ugly interceptions, and all of a sudden, you know, Daniel Jones has to be benched. Daniel Jones is the worst quarterback in the league, and he's been fine since. I mean, and I think that ultimately is what it is with the Bucs. I don't understand why they haven't come back more to a Brady New England style offense. I mean, Bruce Arians is willing to sort of degrade himself by bringing in Antonio Brown after swearing he would never do so, but you're not willing to change the offense in order to win games. That's unusual to me. But that's just sort of now I'm just taking the crap out of this game, and I really don't even have a side that I prefer. I'd lean Chiefs is where I'm landing here.
Mitch.
I'm going to say something, and I know that Jimmy is going to agree with me 100%. I love the Chiefs in this game. How can you not take the Chiefs? Anytime they're favored by less than 4 points, just mark it down and take it. They are great. I thought that's where you were going with this, Gary, when you were talking about how they are head and shoulders above every team in the league. And this is, I'm not even overreacting to what we saw from the Bucs on Monday Night Football this week. I just love it. You know, if you want to like make the case for the Bucs, I don't know, the teams that have given the Chiefs problems this year, they're the teams that can go on those like long drives, like try, I guess, basically just keep Mahomes off the field, go for those like 16 play, 9 minute drives. And, you know, I was looking at the Bucs, like some of their drive history the last couple of weeks, like against the Rams, they had this drive 10 plays, 73 yards, 4 minutes and 45 seconds touchdown in the first half. Also in the first half, 10 plays, 68 yards, 3 minutes, 25 seconds of touchdown. And like, I think if they want to stay in this game, they're going to need to find a way to turn those long drives into like 6, 7, 8 minute drives and sort of shorten the game and, you know, lessen the number of possessions. But, you know, I don't see that happening. Like the Chiefs, you just leave them any time at the end is too much time. And I just think anytime the Chiefs are going to be favored by less than 4 or 5 points, just pick them and you're going to get rich. It's not a foolproof theory. I don't want anyone to think they're, you know, 100% going to get rich. I'm not rich, but you know, we don't get this many opportunities to do this where they're favored by only 3.5. I'm taking it easy. Best bet for me.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm going to best bet the Chiefs. I'm going to bet the Chiefs where it matters in real life because it's just the right thing to do as a gambler. Yeah. -3.5. I don't love them though, only for this reason. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not putting dirt on the Bucs coffin for this reason. They still have Mike Evans, Gronk, Antonio Brown, Ronald Jones,
Chris Godwin.
You know, Godwin. So, you know, Brady doesn't throw two picks last week. They probably win that game. You know, if Tom cleans it up a little bit, you can't be shocked if the Bucs offense ends up, you know, rolling out 30, 31, 34 points and, you know, maybe you don't get that cover. So I don't love the Chiefs as much as I normally would. You know, like Mitch hit it on the head. You see KC -3.5 and you basically, you know, get a tingle down your spine because you're so excited. But the Bucs, I still think are going to have weeks where they do some damage on offense. But a responsible gambler takes the Chiefs -3.5 no matter who they're playing or what's going on. So that's my summation of that one. Next game. This is the Sunday night game. The Bears. Why we need to be subjected to the Bears offense in prime time again, I don't understand. They should have flexed KC Tampa Bay into this spot. Packers, 8.5-point favorites at home against the Bears. The total is 45, Mitch.
What they could have done was flex Steelers Ravens into the spot, since that was the, would have been the NBC game Thanksgiving night, and they moved it. But I guess they... can't do that to the Packers fans out there. Yeah, I like the Packers here. Obviously, I mean, we don't have to talk too much about, you know, the Bears are fading fast. And now Foles and Trubisky are both hurt. So again, when people listen to this podcast, you'll know more than we do now about who's actually going to play, who's healthy. You know, does it make that much of a difference? I think some people might think it does. I don't really know for sure. And I just want to say this. I like the Packers as a bounce back team. I think I talked about this earlier in the year. They've now lost 6 games in the regular season since Matt LaFleur took over. And the last 5 times they bounced right back. They won most of those by double digits, some of them by 3 scores. I just think they're that kind of team. Everyone talks about like Aaron Rodgers with the chip on his shoulder. And it's like, well, you know, shouldn't you just be that motivated every week? And in reality, he probably is. But he does seem like he does take it up a notch when he has something to prove. And I just like the makeup of that team. They've had a few clunkers, but I don't think they're going to do that against the Bears. I think this is going to be a comfortable win from them. 8.5's a little high, so I'm going to shy away from best betting it, but I do like the Packers here.
Gary.
I like the Bears. I mean, I just love the quarterback play they're getting this year. But I'm curious about what they come out of from the bye week with this offense. You had 2 weeks to find some kind of answers. They have to do something new. I mean, they can't continue to do what they've been doing. I don't know exactly what that is. I mean, I've been advocating for just put Trubisky in there and just run like a Tim Tebow offense and catch a couple teams off guard and just scrape together wins that way. But the reason I like the Bears, and this is not going to shock anyone, is I think the defense is good. The last 4 times they faced Aaron Rodgers, they've held them to, let's see, 24, 17, 10, and 21. So that's, I don't know, something in the neighborhood of like 18 points per game. But I don't think the Packers are about to turn it over 4 more times, but I don't think those 4 turnovers are really reflected in this line right here. So I do like the Bears just keeping this to a one possession game, even though it's on the road. Obviously not a big home field advantage this year, and we've seen the Packers struggle at Lambeau the last 2 times. So I think there's something there for the Bears to keep this to a field goal or at least less than a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Packers. I there's no way I can pick the Bears with that offense. I think 8.5 is high, so I won't best bet it. I'd lean Packers, but it's not a best bet for me. But I don't – switching up the play caller, it's not going to make a difference. They're just not that good on offense. So I wouldn't – you know, if the Packers struggle here, they got some issues to deal with. And like Gary said, they haven't been great at Lambeau, but if this is – if you don't have a blowout here, there's some issues there in Green Bay they're going to need to work out. Next game on the board, the Seahawks, 5-point favorites in Philadelphia. The total here is 50. Gary.
Yeah, I'm continuing to stay away from the Eagles. I just can't believe the Eagles are this bad. And, I mean, again, it's Carson Wentz is obviously struggling, but everyone is struggling now at that point. I mean, they can't block, they can't catch, they can't run routes correctly. The rare times when they do, Wentz doesn't seem to trust it enough to actually throw the ball to open receivers. It's just, it's a bizarre situation. What I do like in this game is I like under that 50-point total. It came out of like 53, and I was pretty giddy about it. I'm remaining optimistic about it, even as the number continues to sink. But I'll probably grab it as a best bet at under 50. On top of the fact that obviously the Eagles are struggling offensively, the Seahawks, I mean, we saw it last week, all the let Russ cook stuff. They finally just kind of said, okay, well, we can't live with four turnovers every week, so we're going to go back to what we used to do, which is power running, play action off of it. There are big plays to be had there, but I don't think this is the Seahawks offense that goes out there and automatically puts up 38 points and wins games that way. I think they're going to be winning games like they did late last season when it was more of the 24-21 variety. So I think this game stays low scoring. One other trend here to throw out on the Eagles. This is going back to 2018. When the Eagles play an opponent who is bottom 10 in yards per play allowed, so a bad defense, they have gone under in all 9 of those games. So
is that a Scott Grambling special?
That is, and that is one. It just sort of shows, you know, the Eagles are, since that Wentz MVP caliber season, they're just not good enough to really light it up even against bad defenses here.
Mitch.
All right. You guys know I am an Eagles fan. I talk about it openly. I don't shy away from it. I frequently will pick the Eagles. I'll be optimistic. I'll try and talk myself into it. I look at this line. I cannot believe this line. This is the easiest pick on the board for me, picking the Seahawks to blow out my beloved Eagles. I don't know what team the odds makers are watching. I don't know how the Eagles are not underdogs by more than this. I don't know. People think that they're going to bounce back. Even if they bounce back, they still have a long, long way to go to be competitive with a team. The Seahawks are much better than them. First off, I think let's not underrate the importance of the point that it looks like Chris Carson is likely going to be back. I think the Seahawks have had a lot of trouble running. You know, they've had like DJ Dallas and Travis Homer and guys like that. And I think that Chris Carson was healthy earlier in the season when all the let Russ cook and oh, Russ is the MVP stuff. You know, a lot of times having a better running game and a good running back can help the quarterback a lot. And I think getting him back will actually be huge for that offense. Another thing to point out, which again, as an Eagles fan, I'm well aware of this, Doug Peterson is winless against Seattle. And many of them have been bad. The scores of those games, 26-15, 24-10, and then twice last year, 17-9 and 17-9 again in the playoff game, which I know was mostly Josh McCown, some of that game after he tore his hamstring, not Carson Wentz. But still, I mean, Seattle has just had their number three times held to 10 points or fewer and once to 15. You know, I just think there's no reason to believe in the Eagles here, and I just think this is the easiest best bet of the week. I'm going to be taking Seattle here.
I'm with Gary on leaning to the under there. I, you know, the Eagles have been so bad on offense that I think even, you know, against the terrible Seahawks defense, they might struggle here. I mean, they're completely lost in every facet, offensive line, quarterback, no weapons at all on offense. So, you know, I could see this being, you know, 31-10. I mean, 50 is high here. So I'm with Gary on leaning towards the under. All right, that wraps up the games we like. We got a lightning round here for you with 1, 2, 3, 4 games. Try to do this quickly and get to our best bet. So for the lightning round, let's kick it off with the Bills at home giving 5.5 points to the Chargers. Total is 53, Mitch.
Yeah, I had a tough time picking a side here. Maybe a few of us did, and that's why it's in the lightning round. I'll say my favorite bet in this game is the over 53.5. I just think these are tough. These are teams, you know, they seem to have wild endings a lot, and I can just envision a flurry of points in the fourth quarter. Like, I could just see this going back and forth in either direction. You know, both teams get a score in the last 45 seconds, and we hit that over. So I don't want to pick a side. I don't want to pick anything on either of these teams, but I do kind of like that over.
I don't bet Chargers games. Last week again showed why with no cover, so I'm not saying a word here. I'll leave it to Gary to finish this one off.
No, I do like the Bills in this one. I always wonder about Josh Allen when it gets to the second half of the season and the weather gets a little bit shaky. He hasn't been great in those weather games this year. But I think people want to jump on the Chargers bandwagon because they've seen the dramatic endings of the games. But in reality, that team has not been good before those endings. Justin Herbert's great, but the team around him is not very good.
Next game, the Vikings, who basically wiped out my entire season's winnings last week in real life, giving 4 at home to the Panthers. Tweets came out a couple of minutes ago. No Christian McCaffrey for Carolina. Teddy Bridgewater will start at quarterback. I do still don't understand how the Vikings lost that game last week. Gary.
Yeah, I caught the Cowboys at the wrong time because Cowboys are getting a little bit righter. I don't know. I'm obviously backing off this one. The Panthers just they're better than their roster. Their coaching staff has done a phenomenal job this year, and they're going to steal some of these games. And you wonder now that the Vikings have kind of, you know, the Vikings had that opportunity to get back into the playoff picture, and now they're kind of back out of it. And we know they've traded guys. We know there's no Danielle Hunter. You wonder just competitively, will they show up?
Mitch?
Yeah, I'm totally staying away. This somehow feels like a trap game on both sides. It like feels like the kind of game the Vikings would win a few in a row and then blow it, but then they got that out of their system last week. So, I don't know what to make of them right now. And then the Panthers, Gary talks about it at the top. Nobody saw that coming. And who knows if they can keep that up, although obviously now P.J. Walker is out and back to Teddy Bridgewater. Total stay away from me on both of these teams this week.
I would just say the Vikings are probably a lock because I had them last week. I'm going to jump off them this week, so now they'll cover the 4 points at home. They have so many weapons on offense. It's hard to believe that. They should be right in the playoff hunt, and then their defense just an ultimate choke job last week. But watch them bounce back this week when we're all off of them. Next game, the Saints go into Denver. 5.5-point road favorites, total 53.5, Mitch.
I said this at the top, the Colts and the Broncos. I'm wrong about the Broncos every single week. I bet, I best bet them. I bet them to win. They lose. I stay away. It's the whole thing's a mess. It's like it's irresponsible for me to even tell anyone what I think is going to happen in a Broncos game. I'm going to do a Jimmy Traina style ban. You refuse to do any Chargers games. I'm telling you, I am done with the Broncos. I'm off them.
Your life will be better off for it, Gary.
I'm going to continue to be optimistic about Taysom Hill here. I do think they can go to Denver and steal this game, even though I hate when teams go to Denver. What we saw last week, and everyone's sort of saying, Taysom Hill, he can't throw again. Taysom Hill can't throw, but when you run that offense and you have play action because you are leading or you're staying ahead of the chains, those are just wide open throwing windows. Taysom Hill can make those throws. He's not going to go out there and carve a defense up like he's Tom Brady, but I think it's game flow dependent. I do think the Saints can get out there. They're not going to give up a lead early, and I think this is another solid Taysom Hill game.
Yeah, the Saints have been really impressive. I don't know if they're getting the credit they deserve. I think they go into Denver. I think they win. I think they cover. But again, 5.5 on the road in Denver. Like Gary and I said, Denver still has a little bit of a home field advantage there. So I'm staying away from it. Last game on the board, because we are skipping Steelers-Ravens. I just checked. Still no line. And I think with Baltimore's COVID situation, you're not going to see a line on that maybe till later in the week. So we're going to skip that and just wrap it up with the Rams at home, giving a touchdown to the Niners. Coming up, by total here is 45, Gary.
I like the Rams. I do think they're going to win this by double digits. I just get nervous. Kyle Shanahan against familiar opponents. And we saw them earlier this season when we thought the 49ers were dead. And they're kind of the one team that actually had a really good performance against the Rams. It wasn't great. They were just really good, really highly schemed in the first half and put up points. And then it was too big a lead for Jimmy Garoppolo to let slip away at that point. So I know the 49ers are shorthanded. I just back off this one out of respect to Kyle Shanahan. I hope he appreciates that.
Mitch.
I feel similarly, although maybe Gary might have more of a personal relationship with Kyle Shanahan than I do based on those comments. I bet the Rams -3.5 in that game earlier in the season, and I got burned by that one. The NFC West is just weird. These teams, when they play against each other, it's hard to line them up. It's like the A is a good matchup for B, and B is good for C, and C is like they all just kind of like beat each other up, and who knows? I'm like afraid of any time I see these teams playing against each other. I was looking back; the Niners were healthier. You know, they've been so banged up all season that you have to go back to like each individual box score and see who they had available in each game just to remember, because it's so many to keep track of. They did have a bunch of their offensive players at least in that game. You know, I don't know. I like the Rams here too, and I'm high on them on both sides of the ball. I think they've been really good. But yeah, it scares me given Shanahan a whole touchdown there. You know, no, certainly nowhere near a best bet for me. If you made me pick one, I would lean Rams, but I don't feel that confident about it.
Yeah, I lean Niners. It's a stay away game for me, but I don't know. Kyle Shanahan coming off a bye week, line 7, and like Gary said, familiar opponents here. Rivalry, I could see it maybe being a little closer than people think, with the Rams playing so well lately. All right, that wraps up the analysis for the Week 12 board. We're going to go to our best bets right now for Week 12. And we kick it off with Gary Gremlin.
All right, I'm going to go 5 here, even though there's only 2 I really love.
like a true degenerate.
I know, last week's
that's after
losses.
Your 1-5 record
really,
last week.
It really is. I do love that Eagles, Seahawks under 50. I love the Dolphins giving 7 at Jets. And the 3 I was kind of, a little bit nervous about. I will go Bears +8.5 at Lambeau. And I will take the 2 teams I don't love giving a lot of points on the road. I'll go Browns -6.5 at Jacksonville. And I don't know if I'll ever have another chance in my lifetime to bet the Giants as a 6-point favorite on the road. So I'll take Giants -6 at Cincinnati.
Mitch.
You know, I'm just thinking about this is unrelated to anything. It was like one of the biggest stories in the league the first 3 weeks was the turf at MetLife Stadium. I'm just thinking about the Giants home and road. I haven't heard anything about that. That was like such a big story. And have you heard anything about this? It's been like months. I don't know why I thought that was interesting. I felt like bringing it up. I've got 4 best bets this week in classic fashion of mine. 4 road favorites. Let's do it. I've got the Raiders -3 traveling to Atlanta. I'm going to just go ahead and do Arizona -2 in New England and assume that Kyler's okay. I love that Chiefs -3.5 in Tampa, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick against my own Eagles, and my lock of the week, Seattle -5 in Philly.
I got 5-4 you as well. I'm going Miami -7 at the Jets. Big bounce back here for the Dolphins. Who have been good against the spread all year. Jets, of course, have not. Arizona -2.5 at New England. Over 51, Titans, Colts. They've been putting up a lot of points, both teams, so hopefully they keep it rolling here. Chiefs -3.5, just because you have to against the Bucks. And I added in Atlanta +3 at home against the Raiders. Didn't get that line, so let's go with the Falcons. All right, that wraps up Week 12 on the MMQB Gambling Podcast. Thanks for listening. Have a happy and healthy Thanksgiving. Stay safe, enjoy the turkey, and best of luck with the wagers. We'll see you next week. Take care.